If you turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 12 and 13, verses that we're pretty familiar with, but that need to be reiterated from time to time to remind us of some things. I find a lot of people who are defeated as Christians, and they say that they cannot overcome habits. They say that they can't have the joy of the Lord in their lives because of troubles and difficulties that they're going through. And perhaps their difficulties through the family or some other problems that are in their lives. All of us tonight probably came in this building with some kind of burden on our heart. I would guess that if we could just say, let's have a popcorn testimony from left to right, and just get up and tell us just a quick burden that you might have, or if there's something on your heart that is a burden, to share it with us very quickly, I would imagine that probably everybody in here could. Then I might want to ask, well, how many of you are getting the upper hand on that burden, or having the victory during that trial, or coming to grips with the fact that you can be a victorious Christian in the Christian life, because that's the way God wants us to be. God tells us that we're to live by faith. Living by faith. Philippians 4, beginning with verse 12, you follow along as I read these two verses. Keep in mind that Paul is writing these in prison. I know some of you have heard that before, but it's always good to remember where Paul is writing from and what he's going through as we read these inspired words that the Spirit of God led him to write down in God to have us to hear tonight. Paul said, beginning in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to be real low and be mistreated, and I know how to abound. I know how to act when everything's going good. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. That is, to have plenty of food and maybe not have plenty of food. Both to abound and to suffer need. To have everything I need and sometimes be in need. But then he says in verse 13, keeping all of that in mind, in where he is, he said, I can, amen, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul said, I refuse to wallow around in self-pity. I accept whatever God brings my way. You know, that's one of the things that will show spiritual maturity in our lives, is that when everything goes wrong, and when some very tragic things happen, some very difficult things come in our lives, I mean bad things, and we don't understand those things, and we wonder, and we search, and we look out for answers. We try to figure it out, and we try to get some answers, and sometimes we even say, God, I don't understand these things. Did you ever do that? It's not wrong to do that. If you're just pouring out your heart to God, oh God, I don't understand why. Why does this have to happen? Why is it when somebody's living good, they have all kinds of problems? Somebody is living bad and seems like they have a lot of good things happen to them. Why do we see all of those things? And God, why did I lose my child? Or God, why did my husband walk out on me? Or why did my wife walk out on me? Or why did I lose my job? Or why am I going through these troubles and difficulties? And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get bitter at God and question God. We'll be defeated. We'll lose our joy. We'll be down in the dumps. We'll be depressed. And even sometimes suicidal. Even believers. But here's Paul saying, I'm in prison. I know how to be up. I know how to be down. I know how to have food. I know how not to have food. I know what it is to have plenty. I know what it is to be broke. I know what it is not to have enough. Now look at the attitude of our faith. He had the joy of serving the Lord. Look at the attitude that we should have in our faith. First of all, it should be a positive attitude. Amen. I'm not just talking about the power of positive thinking and some of those things that are more secular than they are spiritual, but I believe we ought to have a positive attitude because God told us to have. Look at those words. I can. Now, those are two pretty good words. Now, a lot of people say, I just can't. I just can't hold out. I just can't do this. I just can't take that. I just can't. You know what we need to do? Look at the word can, C-A-N, apostrophe, and a cross. Right? A T. You need, and I need, to put ourselves on the T, on the cross. Amen? And when we get that right, then we come out with the right thing. I can. I can. Have a positive attitude. What are you facing today? What are you facing tonight, tomorrow, the days that lie ahead? We need a positive attitude because God says that we can. Paul says, I can. And that's the attitude we should have. Now, how are we going to be able to do it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And again and again and again, you hear me talk about the Holy Spirit because I think so many Christians are afraid of the Holy Spirit. And they've let the charismatic crowd scare us all from the Holy Spirit. Listen, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is not going to make you speak in unknown, unintelligible languages or do cartwheels down the aisles. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there are going to be some great things. And one of those things is we'll have faith. We'll just trust God no matter what. We'll go through the storm and the rain and the troubles and the problems. And we'll still believe because we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We have to die to self, as I said. You know, one thing we need to die to is criticism. But not only that, we need to die to compliments. I try to keep that in balance in my ministry. I would prefer to have compliments more than criticism, but you better keep that in balance and let God handle the results of all of that. And just be dead to self as much as it's possible and is scriptural for us to do. We need to die to self, die to compliments, die to criticism, live in the power of the Holy Spirit, and say, I can, because we have a positive attitude. Amen. And look at the powerfulness of it. It's a positive attitude. It's a powerful attitude. I can do. That's a little word, D-O. Not a very big word. But take it out, you know. Put it back in because God says, I can, Paul said, I can do. It's something that requires us to be active in the work of the Lord. And that means that power is available for you and for me to do what we need to do. And I believe what he's talking about here is in the present tense, right now. You say, when I get to heaven, I can do all things through Christ. No, right now, tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, the rest of your life, you can do whatever God wants you to do. The power is available there. Paul said, I can sing praises in jail. I wonder how many of us could do that if we got thrown in jail tonight for the cause of Christ. I would hope that I could still sing praises to God. I think I would, but I've never been there, not very long anyway, never been there for the cause of Christ like Paul, but I would hope by God's grace that because of faith and because of what Paul experienced and what the Word of God has told us, a positive attitude I can and a powerful attitude I can do, that I'd be able to sing praises like Paul did in jail in Acts 16. 25, and the Bible says, and at midnight, sort of a dreary hour of the night, Paul and Silas prayed. Amen. That's a good thing to do. And sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, the Bible says. You think those prisoners didn't think a little bit about that? Well, these are unusual jailbirds. Here they are praying and singing. And they don't just have foxhole religion. They really mean it. They're in serious trouble, but here they are at midnight praying and singing praises to God. And so God gives us this powerful reality and positive attitude. I can do. I can sing praises to God in problem times. Look at verse 11. He says, going back to verse 11, God can give us the faith and the attitude to sustain the burdens. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, even in August in Texas when it's 103, amen? I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. Whatever state. Do we believe tonight Romans 8:28 is true? That takes in a lot of things. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purposes. All things. Not just good things, but all things. Difficult times, rough times, hard times. Times we do not understand. Times our hearts are crushed. But Paul said, God will sustain you in those horrible and terrible times of great burden. He said, I've learned whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. You better find your happiness and joy in Jesus Christ. If you try to find it in your circumstances, you're going to be a roller coaster Christian. You're going to be up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, all through your life until you learn, till we learn to be content with whatever state we're in, because that's God's will, God's allowable will for our lives during that time. Give thanks in everything, for this, whatever it is the will of God in Christ concerning you. God knows what He allows. God knows why He allows it. God knows what He's trying to bring to pass. And even the worst situations can be used for the glory of God. He also reminds us that our faith can sustain us in abasement. Going back to verse 12, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. How to be brought down, how to be abased. Nobody likes to be abased. I don't, you don't, most of us don't. But Paul said it's going to come, it's part of the Christian life. By the way, a ministry, and Paul was talking about all the trials and troubles he was going through, and all the humiliation, beaten, and all of the problems he had, just a great venue of different problems that he had. But Paul was teaching us that ministry that costs nothing. And I hope you get this. If you don't get any other statement tonight, get this one. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. If we're going to accomplish something for God, there's always a price to be paid for it. If we're going to glorify Him, get the job done, live for Him, so that we will not be ashamed when we stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. You and I don't know a whole lot about the sacrifices that some of the Christians are making in the world right now. While I'm standing here in comfort, air conditioning, nice lighting, all of that, there's a Christian somewhere right now dying. Being beat to death or shot because they love Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, they're making a mark in their society and upon people who watch them and know their lives. We cannot imagine what's going on in the rest of the world. And if we take a stand for the Lord, there's a price to be paid. I know there's a guy down in South Texas that tells you if you'll just think positively. And every time you hear him speak on television, it's peaches and cream, cream and peaches. Everything's fine. You're going to be prosperous. If you'll just give your money and come to my church and have a positive outlook, you're going to have a new car, a new house, a better job, and you're going to die rich. Well, that's not the way it works, friend. There are some problems that are going to come. There are some heartaches. There are some difficult hours. There are some times of sickness and trouble. And they're going to come. Paul was sick and God wouldn't even heal him. God said, no, it's not my will. God can say yes, no, or wait a while. And sometimes He says, my grace is sufficient. Because I know what's best for you. You don't know what's best for you. I don't know what's best for me. God knows what's best for all of us. Amen. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. God has all knowledge, and He knows what's best for every one of us. And I thank God that He does. And Paul is just reminding of reminding us of the faith, the attitude of our faith. It ought to be positive, and it should be one that realizes that it's powerful and God is there to meet those things. The action of our faith, he said, I can do all things. That's action. I can do something. I can do all things. Do all things. Well, we want to do what God wants us to do. That ought to be something that is a given in that. I can do all things. And I believe he's talking about with the power of Almighty God. And the Bible says with God all things are possible. Either we believe that or we don't believe that. With God all things are possible. Well, that's true. And God knows what is best. And so the action of our faith is I can do all things. I can do some things for God. I can teach a class. I can drive a bus. I can sing in the choir. I can do some other things. I can do all things through Christ. But one thing all of us can do, and I want to get back to it time and time again, is the main job of the church is to win people to Christ. You say, I can't do it. Wait a minute. God says you can. You say, well, I can't win people to Christ. God says you can. Now, you may not, and we're not putting pressure on people to go around with two soul-winning six guns and notch them all the time and get up and brag about it. I think a lot of that's done in the energy of the flesh. But I just believe that we, as God's people, should be able to win people to Christ. I can do all things. I can, amen, win people to Christ. I can be a witness. I can do my best to be a soul winner and win people to Jesus Christ. Lydia, a woman, was that way. And I believe she was a businesswoman. The Bible said about the people that some of them that she led to the Lord, she constrained us. What does that mean? She invited us to come over. We want to talk to you. She said, come on, I have something I want to say to you. Acts 16:15. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She said, please, come. You know why she wanted to do that? Not because she wanted to be a good hostess and serve them food, but because she wanted to share her newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she constrained. That's a strong word. She begged them. She asked them. She said, please, come on. Come over to my house. I've got something I want to tell you. I believe we ought to be... My heart is burdened if people don't walk the aisles. I thank God we had two walk the aisle last Sunday and two this Sunday. And I would to God it would be every Sunday. You say, oh, that can't happen. Wait a minute. I believe God says it can. You say, well, we just can't. Well, we can do all things through Christ as a church. It strengthens us. Amen? If we'll do it. If we'll get out there and do what God tells us to do. George Barna, who does a lot of research, he is esteemed as one of the best researchers in the country, both for churches and for the business world today. Very brilliant man. George Barna says that most churches are simply rearranging furniture. They don't have anybody saved. They just change the program a little bit, and change this a little bit, and change that a little bit. Folks, we need to do more than just rearrange furniture. We need to have people walking the aisles for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know you know that, but we need to be reminded of that. Let's all work. Compel them to come to God's house. Invite them. Folks, invite folks. Folks get saved. Get them here under the sound of the gospel. And then we need to strive together. Strive together. And that's part of what our theme is all about, that we're striving for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We have these soldiers. They move around every once in a while. We need to give them some names or something. But Madeline moves them around every once in a while for variety's sake. But they are reminding us we're in a battle and we're striving against the devil. Amen. We have a battle to fight. We need to fight the battle. But listen, we need to strive together. That's what the Bible says. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, Paul said, I may hear of your affairs, And that's the right kind of affairs, by the way, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, watch it, striving together for what? For the faith of the gospel. We should pull together, strive together, not against each other. Sometimes we get, I think, a little bit crossways about some things that are just preference things. And we need to realize some things are worth fighting for and dying for, and some are not. Now, I'm a conservative, independent, fundamental Baptist, and I don't mind telling you that. And that's the kind of church we have. This is the kind of church we have. That's why that our ladies ought to dress modestly, amen? You parents ought to be sure that the skirts are long enough. Now I'm meddling. I've got way off my text, haven't I? And you ought to be sure that they're modest. We're an independent, Bible-believing church. And we believe in biblical separation. But sometimes, instead of, you know, we get all bent out of shape about things. We make things priority that were never made priority. You say, well, we must have church at 6 o'clock on Sunday night or we're not spiritual. And where do you find that in the Bible? We must have Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. Well, where's that in the Word of God? Now, I believe that we ought to be here when the church assembles, and that happens to be, those happen to be the times. But to make that an issue of fellowship, or to say because somebody else has Sunday school at a different time or preaching at a different time, I don't think God is very pleased with us criticizing our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm one that believes we ought to have good music in our church. I do believe that. And it ought to be music that honors God. I don't believe God, and I know some so-called progressive young people and couples may not appreciate the statement, but I'm telling you, we need those good old-fashioned hymns that have substance and theology in them. And they say something. They really say something. But we shouldn't condemn a missionary over in the foreign field if they don't have a pianist like Madeline with them and they have to use a tape and that's the only resource they have. Or they don't have songbooks and they throw it up on a screen and they sing. I don't think we ought to cut their support just because they're doing that. But what we should do, what I'm simply saying, is we need to work together and be in unity and be in harmony. That's what he's talking about. Stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Working together. God knows we need to work together. We don't need to be criticizing everybody else and criticizing their ministry, the way they do their ministry. We don't have time for that. People are dying and going to hell while we're sitting around criticizing each other. We need to get our hearts right and strive together for the glory of God. So that's the attitude of faith and action, or of faith, and very quickly the access that we have by faith. Verse 13 again, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He strengthens me. I have the access to his power. How do we get that access? The power comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. You got to be born again. That's what I'm saying. You don't have access to God and his power and all of this. You can't live by faith until you first get born again. And the way you get born again is you realize you're a sinner and Jesus died for you and paid your sin debt. And the simple gospel, if you would believe that he died and paid your sin debt, and he was buried and arose, and that the Lord Jesus Christ took care of the matter, and you come to him and ask him to save you, you can have the same access. It is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Access through his blood. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a child of God tonight by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing good have I done. It's the blood. It's the blood. The blood has been applied to my heart and my life. It has covered all of my sin, past, present, and future. And I have access to the Father. I can live by faith. I can be positive in my attitude and believe what this says right here. I can do all things through Christ. Amen. The one which strengtheneth me, the person that strengthens me. The power is furnished by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. We can have power through those two things, the Word and the Spirit. The Bible is powerful, folks. It is so powerful. Never underestimate the power of the Word of God. It is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, the Gentile. The power of God. Get the Word of God out there to people. It has power. The Word of God, access through the Word and the Holy Spirit of God. God gives us that power. I'm glad tonight I have the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't dare try to serve God or be a preacher or be a leader in any capacity if I didn't know that I had access to the power of God, to the leadership of God, the mercy of Almighty God. I'm so glad I'm on His side and He's on my side. I'm so glad He's with me and He's promised I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. That keeps me coming back to the pulpit Sunday after Sunday. That'll keep me preaching as long as I can preach by the grace of God. That's what put me into the ministry to begin with. Not that I thought I had all it took to be in the ministry. It was I felt God calling me in my heart, and I believed the promises that He made that if He called me, He'd take care of the matter. And He would, in some capacity at least, use me. Now, if our purpose is to win souls and to glorify God, if our purpose is to win people to Christ, get them saved, and glorify God, it's for His glory, then, my friend, we have the right to claim this. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me tonight. By faith. Living by faith. What kind of faith do you have tonight? Do you have enough faith to believe that Jesus died for you and He'll save you if you'll come to Him? It works. That's how I got saved. That's how everybody got saved that's in this building is saved tonight. By faith. By faith you can win the battle. By faith you can quit the habit. By faith you can have victory in your Christian life. By faith that thing can work out at home. By faith your marriage can be healed. I can do all things. I can trust Christ. I can be positive. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Bring your burden to Him tonight. Lay it down at His feet. And you'll make it another day, another week, another month, another year until Jesus comes or until He calls you home. Let's stand, please.